This is Jessica White, the Danson Outlaw. You're listening to the Midwest Monsters.
Yeah, man.
I'm excited. I'm sorry. I picked this topic. I love this movie.
It's a scary movie. It's a scary movie. And it still affects me just the same. I cannot put that on.
I gotta tell you, something about this movie worked for me. I was like, it rocked.
So, I mean, that's debatable, but I mean, it's a great movie.
That, you know, it's my right as a viewer, as somebody who spends my money and time to go watch these films, to have my opinions and be disappointed.
But that's what I love about this group doing this podcast right now, is that on so many pages, we're like right there with each other. But then, I mean, it's almost inevitable that, you know, half the time we're going to go, you're out of your mind.
You are out of your mind. I'm sorry, but that's...
Welcome to the Midwest Monster Podcast. And now, here are your hosts.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another just exciting, deep, introspective episode of the Midwest Monsters. I'm one of your hosts. I'm Grizzly Abner, and I'm joined by...
I'm Matt Chan.
Professor Wagstaff.
Hey, good to be with you out here in the suburbs of the metropolis of Muncie, Indiana.
Yes.
And we have got quite the monster mash for you this evening.
Yes. Digging deep.
Man.
Bringing the real stuff.
I gotta say.
You guys, this is my favorite show.
We got into some art tonight.
Yeah.
Some art house.
Brother, these things were so beautifully shot. There's always, we try to find a common running theme between the movies. Yeah. Even sometimes we don't have one, but sometimes we try to find that common running theme. And I think the theme of tonight's shows is masterful. You know, these things are masterfully done.
Might I so arrogantly say, finest episode of 2016 coming out.
Absolutely.
By far, brother.
Absolutely. By far. I mean, and to see, I mean, we've seen some people on Facebook arguing about how what horror and what art house should look like.
Yes.
And they say, oh, well, you think, you know, you're art house, but you just like Rob Zombie. And
this or they argue about the movies with the asses and the mouths sewn together. Like
right.
Those are exactly. Beautifully done.
Right. Absolutely. So I don't want to call it art house. Because
no,
I don't want to be pretentious.
No.
I don't want to
say, take your definitions, throw them in the trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're about to re-examine.
Yeah.
Because this right here, what we're about to bring to you,
thinking man's films.
Oh, definitely. If you have ever in your life been like, man, I want to sit down and enjoy cinema quality.
Yeah.
Quality cinema.
Right.
Like, this is the fucking episode
to. It's like, hey, I'm Joe the Plumber. I'm sitting on the couch. I watch a lot of horror movies. But I really don't know what's out there that's under the radar, the good stuff, the stuff of substance. We've got those for you.
All right. So, Grizz, why don't you go ahead and just go ahead and let the people know what we're covering tonight.
For those of you who aren't idiots, we watched five. Well, we watched four, but Mad Chan gave us a bonus feature.
Yeah.
We watched four films.
Yes.
That are above reproach.
Oh, definitely.
That we want. Listen, if this isn't for you, you can turn it off after we tell you what
it
is.
Popular opinion might make you judge us initially, but just hear us out. We've got things to say. Make you look at these things a new right. Different way.
Yes.
We've got coming up.
Yes.
A little film called Jersey Shore Massacre.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah. Then another, just to me, a cinematic masterpiece, right up there with Jaws.
Yes.
It's called Jersey Shore Shark Attack.
And people are judging right now. They don't understand that. They probably didn't watch the damn things. They're
right.
They
just want to jump to conclusions.
Yes.
They want to judge us.
Yes.
Right now.
That's why we're here, though.
Yeah.
Changing minds.
And then we continue on.
We continue on. And you know that at least Professor and I, and a little bit Mad Chan, we are big werewolf fans in the genres. We have strippers versus werewolves.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And I only say werewolves to give it its proper credit, because we all know it's werewolves.
Werewolves, yes.
And then
Jesus, this is amazing. Keep going.
Last but not least, zombie strippers.
I am literally walking around tentpole right now. This is such an amazing episode.
Guys, I mean, these are films that your average listener isn't going to watch.
Probably not.
They do not have the intellectual capacity for these films.
You do not have the testicular fortitude to hang out in the realm of these fine American movies.
That's true. That's true. Professor, you got any more input for just how valuable these films are?
Honestly, I'm just excited to throw kind of a curveball at conventional wisdom and the way people approach film.
Right.
Get over yourselves.
Yeah.
There's something special here that we've got to address in each of these films. That's why we picked them.
I know.
And that's why we set out to do this podcast.
You kids are right now doing what they call throwing shade. And we don't need that.
Yeah.
Because if you haven't watched these films like we've watched these films, you don't know about the mastery that's lying ahead.
We're trailblazers. Trailblazers.
Yes.
So, I mean, I've just got to say one last thing before we delve into these movies. You know, I just want to tell you all.
April Fool!
Hey, guys, listen. This is your favorite podcast of horror movies.
Yes.
And it's like 12:30 in the morning.
We're pretty drunk.
We're in Muncie, Indiana.
We're in Monkey, boys.
We've had quite a few to drink, and we thought that we needed to watch these terrible movies.
Yes.
So that you wouldn't have to.
Exactly, guys. April Fools, man, from Matt Chan and Grizz and the Professor. We did the movies we just told you. We're going to review Jersey Shore Massacre, Jersey Shore Shark Attack, Strippers versus Werewolves, Zombie Strippers, and a bonus from Zombies versus Strippers, so you don't fucking have to. April Fools.
April Fools.
This is our gift to you guys, man. Like, just enjoy us on the train wreck that is about to ensue.
Please. Can I just clarify, too, that if you've listened to the show for a while, you listen to the Leprechaun episode.
Our best episode.
Oh, yeah, bare minimum, I'm going to give you one episode a year where I drink myself past the level of just usual presentation. And it's typically because it's with movies that I absolutely suffered through. It's just not my style.
Right. This is nobody's
style. Yeah, certainly. That's nothing against you two.
Right.
But it's the best way to approach it.
Yeah, just drunk as shit.
I also give you a pledge to not black out. Now,
he's going to try.
That's a tall order.
Yeah, on the Leprechaun episode, I continued through to the end, but I'll tell you the truth. When I mixed that, the last 20 minutes, I didn't remember.
You were in charge of the last
20 minutes. I was mortified listening to it when I was mixing. I was like, oh, God, what's next? I don't remember any of this. And a little insight, I went in as a responsible, experienced adult drinker.
After the episode.
Yeah, after the episode was done, and just laid down on the bathroom floor because I just assumed what was coming. Now, I didn't get sick. But it sure as hell felt like I needed to get ready. But let's be fair.
To step that up, we had all just had a hell of a 6 months leading up to that
episode. Yeah.
We had. So,
yeah.
I look back, and could we be embarrassed about that episode? Totally.
Totally.
But knowing the 6 months.
I embrace
months,
it, yeah.
Yeah, the 6 months that we had just had, and nay, the year of podcasting that we had leading
up. Yeah, it was a year anniversary.
It was our year anniversary. It was, a few month anniversary of some terrible shit we'd put up with.
And we would like to point out that
movies that were not the easiest. I'm not quite the fan
films.
That everyone else.
You guys,
six
we,
films.
And we want to point out right now that we are recording this on it's officially 3/21. 2016.
No, it's April Fool's Day. Don't tell me.
But listen,
4/1.
This is movie man. Guys,
4/1.
Happy 3-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Hey! Yeah. I wanted to bring that up. I saved it till right now. Happy 3-year anniversary, yeah, guys. Man. It's officially 321. Happy anniversary.
I did. What a treat.
So looking around the table right now, I have a whiskey and Red Bull, a New Belgium Rampant, Imperial IPA, thing of moonshine, and more like whiskey in the freezer.
Whiskey
and we got whiskey and Cokes. We got a big assassin. We got a big assassin drink.
You got more rampant.
We got more rampant, guys. We literally are just lighting it up for you guys, and we are going to cover the movies we talked about. We're going to cover them with. We're going to cover them with. Just pure humility, man. We're just gonna throw it out there. These movies are we're not telling you to watch them. We watch them so you don't.
I'm just gonna throw this out here too. Maybe listeners will be excited at the idea. Can I just throw this out here for April 1st, 2017?
Throw it out, Daddy.
When the episode goes up, it will be covering April Fool's Day and other movies that turn out to be a twist kind of kick ending.
Yes, I do want to do, because there was an April Fool's Day and a remake, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I do want to do that for the
so
next one.
We are fully aware of those. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, guys, we know
that. We'll take a look at that down the road.
Yeah, this was just our...
Don't check us.
This is just our way of just celebrating tonight and getting drunk and having fun. So keep your opinions to yourselves.
Yeah, shut up.
All right, then let's dive into it, guys. Come on, let's go. First one, out the gate.
My goal is to have more than 10 sentences this episode. I'm going to lean back and drink most
happy
of it.
Happy anniversary, guys.
Let's
roll into it, man.
I love you, idiots.
Jersey Shore Massacre, 2014, starring Danielle, whatever, Angelina Bacasella, Giovanni Rosalini, Chris Lazzaro. Why do these people got real names, man?
Why you hate on Italian?
Nicole Rigadano, Ashley Mitchell. Anyway, it's called Jersey Shore Massacre.
There it is.
And it was produced by J-Wow Productions. Directed by Paul Tarnopol and written by Paul Tarnopol and a guy named Goldeneye. named Goldeneye, yeah. Like, the guy that, the video game guy, got out and wrote this. It's funny. Initial thoughts.
Can you tell them who J-Wow is?
And for those of you that don't know, because we're going to be talking a lot about her tonight, J-Wow is Jenny Farrell from the Jersey Shore. If you guys don't remember the MTV's The Jersey Shore, J-Wow was one of the characters. She was the big fake-breasted, tall one of the group, the very tan. And, I mean, she was I want to say one of the least annoying of the whole household.
The realest.
Yeah, she was, seriously. And her production company she was billed as executive producer on this, so.
And a shameful secret, Mad Chan and I enjoy Jersey Shore.
Actually, I love Jersey Shore, man. I'm not playing because I love any
humanity
group,
at its worst.
Any group of people that get together and make asses out of themselves like that while drinking alcohol, I was like, oh, man, role model. I love that show. It reminds me of what I could have been, should have, could have, would have.
I could have
been a Guido in a different life.
I could have done it.
I could have been a Guido, man.
So, Mad Chan and I watched this together.
Yes.
And I really appreciate that when I checked in on Facebook that Mad Chan and I were watching this together, Professor noted, it should be noted on the podcast that you guys watch this together and I have to watch this turd by myself.
It's a valid point.
It is a valid point.
Valid.
It's communal experience for shit city.
Yeah. Yeah. So Mad Chan and I did watch this together on a night that we were enjoying some drinks.
Yes.
It didn't help any. It was still awful.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Still.
No, it was horrible, dude. I'm sorry. Like, I'm going to let you guys know. I drank a fifth of vodka in an hour and a half watching this movie because I was trying to drown my sorrow. That's not even an exaggeration.
And that's a follow-up. We got to rewind a little bit. That night, I got my stomach tattooed.
Yes.
Which is a painful experience.
Oh, to say the least.
Any torso tattoo, my friends out there that are thinking of getting tattoos, a torso tattoo is the most painful you can go
through. This ain't some Tupac Thug Life letters.
Yeah.
I mean, homeboy got a huge tattoo on his
thumb. Entire chest is tattooed, and that has been painful. My ribs are tattooed. That's painful. And now my stomach.
Yeah.
A large Sasquatch tattoo. And so I had
It's not just a Sasquatch. Tell me what it is. It's the Patterson
film. The Patterson film.
He has the Patterson film tattooed on his stomach, guys.
So I drank quite a bit of whiskey that evening. Yes. Because when you know people who tattoo you, they don't mind if you drink. Because that whole myth about you bleeding too much when you get tattooed, that's kind of a rumor.
When I was 18 and 19, I did bleed a lot, and I had a high blood alcohol content the whole time. So I always believed it to be true. But as I got into adulthood, man, that's just...
You get older and your friends are tattoo artists and they say, listen, really, we put those signs up because, hey, we don't want you mad the next day if you got drunk and got tattooed. And number two, we don't want you annoying while we tattoo you.
Yeah, dude.
So those are really the reasons. We're letting out secrets right now. We're breaking kayfabe. Oh, we shouldn't do that.
Fourth wall.
Breaking kayfabe. Anyways, so Matt Chan and I came back here. I had already been drinking quite a bit. He played catch up.
I played catch up with a fifth of
strawberry vodka.
In an hour and a half, I drank a fifth of strawberry vodka, and this movie never got any better the whole time I drank, man. Oh my God.
I love that we start out in the Pine Barrens. And when I think of the Pine Barrens, I think of what urban legend?
The Jersey Devil.
Professor, you know about the Jersey Devil?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, you better get on board with that, son.
Now, here's the thing that kills me. It's called Jersey Shore Massacre, and right away, they take us 20 miles inland, or however far inland,
from the Jersey Shore,
and some other bitches got their house.
So was the landlord?
Ron Jeremy was the landlord, and Ron Jeremy rented the house out to two separate groups of hot chicks, Guidette chicks.
The others being Latina.
These were Guidettes. The other ones were Latina. But anyway, Ron Jeremy rented the house out to two different groups of chicks. So these chicks come inland. Not even on the shore. This is Jersey Shore Massacre. Takes place in the woods in the middle of Jersey somewhere.
Yeah.
Strike one. Go ahead. So it's dumb, dude. Go ahead.
I like the Guido impersonation.
How many bad accents were in this movie, man? Everyone. I'm sorry, they were all bad accents.
Professor, before we
take
all the thunder, can you tell us what you thought?
Literally, Elvis just grabbed the
microphone. Man, let me go ahead and tell you, this was my favorite movie of this episode.
Was it?
Yes.
The fourth?
Yes. Let me tell you, that ain't saying much. But I thought that the characters are so obnoxious,
yes,
and so ridiculous, and we placed it into the classic sense of kind of the campground slasher rural setting that, you know, that we all know as horror fans,
right?
And the absolutely stunning violence that came with these attacks for this grade of film. I had the most fun with this. Okay. Now, I'll be honest. I still hate it. I hate every single movie we watched on this. And I am very forgiving with campy, shitty horror films.
Yeah.
As you can go back through the episodes and, you know, just predictions for the future. That's how I am as a viewer. But, man, these are so bad. Like when I'm watching these films and I'm actually getting upset that the free time that I have to finish these.
Right on.
That's when I know they're bad. Now, out of the four, and there's another one, which I won't even spoil it. That's the only thing I got for you listeners, is that there's one other one out of these four that I at least found some moments of enjoyment with. But this one, you know, there was some brutal attacks, and I thought that the performers embraced the shittiness of the movie and tried to have some fun with it.
Right on.
So I felt like I was kind of in on it with them versus just watching a shitty movie. Like, I feel like they knew it was shitty.
Okay.
And so for me, I immediately pulled back the claws. You know what I mean? I was like, I'm not going to quite rip on this one as hard because they know it's shit.
Okay.
They're having fun with it. And so for me, I don't know, like, and maybe it was because this was the first I watched of these four that I was a little bit more forgiving, but yeah, it was still a big heaping mound of shit.
Best description ever, by the way.
But I at least found myself kind of having fun with it, where I was like, man, I don't know if I hate these characters because they're shitty actors or because they're doing their characters well. So it's like this lowbrow entertainment actually started to fuck with my head, and I really didn't know what I was watching. So, yeah, I don't know. I found a little bit of entertainment with it. The breast hacking scene, brutal. Good God.
Oh, yeah.
Brutal. I was like, who is making this film, or who is behind this? What anger...
Yeah,
has put this scene in the middle of this otherwise pretty flippant and relaxed, fun movie.
I almost called the government in New Jersey to have them investigate.
Somebody help that poor girl, man. Yeah. Look, I'm just going to say this. With each movie, this is for the listener's sake, I'm going to be definitive one time and done, because I really can't add a whole lot to it. That's how I feel about this movie. I'm going to just pound beers in between.
Guys, I'll
see you at the next one.
All right, so the professor gave his profound view on this movie. I'm going to let you know like this. I wasn't playing when I said that earlier. I really drank a fifth of whiskey in an hour and a half. And I'm going to let you know the last third of this movie is kind of forgettable because I don't remember it.
I passed out.
And
we both did.
Yeah, at some point, I remember credits rolling and I look up and Grizz is like, "Well, that's over." And we went
because we both woke up at the same time.
Yeah, that's what it was. So,
but I'll tell you, that scene that Professor mentioned is the only memorable scene from the film.
Yeah.
The girl with the only...
There's a lot of boobs, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The girl with the best pair.
Yeah.
She's going up... She gets carried upstairs by a big gorilla. That's what they call them in Guido culture. A big gorilla.
Yeah.
And they're going to make love. And she says, "Let me take a shower."
Oh, that's the one in the fucking... Yeah. The whole boy in the...
"Let me take a shower." And he's like, "All right." She's like, "You go in the bedroom." Well, instead, he finds a room with a tanning bed.
Yeah, homeboy goes to the tanning
bed. So he decides to tan.
Yeah.
So he gets killed, I Know What You Did Last Summer style.
Yes.
In the tanning bed.
Favorite movie.
And then she gets that brutal hacking scene in the shower. That was probably the best kill scene in the movie. Because here's the problem. There's killing in the intro out in the Pine Barrens, and then we wait
40 minutes or something.
Mine says 30.
Yeah. I remember it was a long time. 30
minutes in a movie called Jersey Shore Massacre.
I remember we actually talked about that. Like, you and I looked at each other and was like, nothing's happened for the 30. Apparently, you wrote it on your notes. Because we both kind of looked at each other like, nothing's happening. Like, it was boring. It was dumb. We didn't understand why they're supposed to be staying for their week at the shore. They end up staying inland like X amount, 20 miles or so in the fucking woods. There's a creepy guy that lives out in the fucking woods. Like, there was so much wrong with this movie that I was surprised that JWoww, honestly, would even put her name anywhere near this, man. Because as much as Jersey Shore Shark Attack, it directly rips off the Jersey Shore, like, this just seems like it did a bad fucking impression of that people and those people in that culture.
What do you
altogether.
Mean by you people?
I didn't say you people.
Why? What did JWoww have to avoid with integrity?
No, but I mean, like, you know, like, if you owned a company, and it was Professor Wagstaff Company, you ain't gonna let them put out a movie that makes you look stupid as shit. Why would you wouldn't? This movie makes the whole Jersey Shore, like, their bad accents, bad acting, bad kills.
So did Jersey Shore.
True. All right, fine. Whatever. Touche. I'm done. There, final thoughts on this movie? Fuck it. That's my final thought. I'm done.
Final thought.
I ain't even talking about it no more. I'm done.
Final thought was the killer was the creepy guy.
Hell yeah.
Like, there was no secret.
They ain't pulling no cute shit right. with you.
The killer was the creepy guy you expected all along.
You can't trust anybody.
And then the final scene that Chad and I woke up at. That's Ron Jeremy on a canoe with the girl who takes her top off.
So did you guys go back and watch it, or did you just not watch this movie fully?
No, we woke up when there was that killing at the end. Like, the killer tries to kill. And we were like, what? And Ron Jeremy's killing somebody? And Chad was like, "Do you feel like that was just added in?" And I was like, "I guess." I don't know. I fell asleep. I just got my whole stomach tattooed. So... That's Jersey Shore Massacre.
All right, I'm done. Whatever.
No, hold on, hold on. We pick these fucking movies. Go and tell people. Do you recommend people watch them? And no. in what setting? You got it? No. Okay. You don't get to gloss over. We're covering four movies. We finish it with each one.
All right.
So with this one, in what setting would you recommend somebody watch this?
So if you're being tortured by a Guido in the middle of the woods and you've only got 20 minutes to live and he's like, how do you want to die? Pick this movie.
It would be by Jersey Shore Massacre.
A Death by Jersey Shore Massacre. Go. It was a horrible movie.
Yeah. Now, to watch it, I mean, I've seen worse, but it's still not good. I mean, there's just, besides that one kill, that brutal kill in the shower, none of the kills are fun.
Yeah, yeah, that was the thing about it.
But there's kills. That's important for later, for the titles of movies and what lives up to them. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So the kills weren't fun. Like, it missed so many opportunities. So, like, I can't recommend this in good conscience.
In any setting?
No.
Not this movie. Not this one.
I really wouldn't.
Okay. Well, if you like drinking beer and not caring and having fun, put this movie on. There's my recommendation.
If you and a bunch of friends are getting high, I don't know. Like, I don't recommend getting high, but if you are, because you're you,
there's that one funny scene.
You'll enjoy this.
There's that one funny scene where the guy, like, jumps on the grenade. And he takes the
dives on the grenade.
Yeah, he takes the quote unquote unattractive girl, which fuck you. She's not a bad looking girl.
No.
And he's like, I'm gonna drive her out and act like the car's broke down and then leave her and drive back.
I'm just saying,
what a jerk.
On this movie, out of the movies that we watch, with garbage ass movies like this, there are certain elements that people tune into these things for. And this one has more than some of the others we're going to discuss. Okay. I'm just saying.
Okay.
There's some laughs to be had, some nudity, some violence. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but we've been talking about this movie for 20 minutes.
It's not good.
We need to get off this movie.
Right? Okay. Let's get on to the good stuff. How dare we?
I love the professor for that reason.
No, I'm drinking, son. Let's do it.
Jersey Shore Shark Attack 2012. Garbage. Directed by...
Fucking garbage. Josh, let's talk about it.
Shepard, Michael Cimenar, and Richard Gandolfo. Has character names TC.
This movie is so much better than
TC. No, Donnie, Balzac,
not even Nookie, close.
Jay Money, and let's say it's Jeremy Luke, Joey Russo, Daniel Bucco, Melissa Molinaro, Alex Miarero, Dolan, played by William Atherton, of all fucking people, man. The guy from Ghostbusters, Paul Sorvino, Vinny blah, 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 from Jersey Shore, and then Joey Fatone is playing fucking Joey Fatone.
Never get Paulie Walnuts from The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah. And Big Pussy's in this, right? Big Pussy's also in this. Big Pussy's on the guy working at the beach.
The gangster open was phenomenal.
Imagine.
No, let's go over what's good about this one.
So here's the thing. Although I knew watching this, as soon as it opened up and all the names came up, all those years watching
the gangster open. It's the wrong fucking movie. That's what I think about these. Go ahead. Sorry.
Initial thought.
Gangster Open was from the last one. I got to correct myself.
All right. Yeah. You're making fun of the Gangster Open, but it's the one you like.
You're right.
Liked is a stretch. You guys picked these stupid fucking movies, so you go ahead and judge me for trying to be honest about them. April Fools is on us. Worst episode ever.
I love the huge Jersey Shore ripoff. All those years watching the show was for nothing. I love the fact that Joey Fatone's doing a huge show on the beach. Yeah. Oh man, what about the dudes? I'm in the need of some serious ASS alcohol, sunshine, and sex, bro. Like, this is the dumbest fucking movie ever.
Let's
come on, pound it, explode it, make it rain down, bro. This was the dumbest fucking movie, man.
Let's note one catch here. I didn't realize when we picked it that this was a sci-fi movie.
Oh, no, but it's better. It's better. Better. Let's clarify that.
You're just mad that there weren't boobies in this.
Yeah! Watch these pieces of shit? Are you kidding me? Yeah, I am. So the protein bar to bait the sharks was good. This is a better movie. You guys got it. Nailed on.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. So...
What about homeboy in the water clanging the bottles together? He's like, preppies, come out and play it. ripping off the Warriors. Oh my god. Oh, I love that they go out to kill the Sharks with fireworks. They get a bag of
fireworks. They get a bag of fireworks, and that's how they're gonna kill the Sharks.
Oh man.
So let's talk.
Hey, the professor just brought it up. Nothing's gonna resist 25 grams of protein packed power peanut butter punch, bro. It's the best fucking line ever.
Dude. Yeah, it is.
Now, my favorite line is, "What's going on out here?" Sharks, my dude.
No, I like it. I like it when they rip off Jaws at the end. That's so fucked up. Fucking piece of shit. Are you kidding me?
The quote is, and for those of you who've never seen Jaws, it's in Jaws they say, "Smile, you son of a bitch."
No, but in this, "Smile, you stupid bitch." In this one, they
say, "Smile, you stupid bitch. Get out of my ass."
Oh,
somebody owes me something for this. Dude, I love the fact that dude goes, "One of those things killed JP, and I'm not going to let him get away with it." This movie took itself so seriously. It was so fucking weird, dude.
Look, here's the thing. Fred Olen Ray produced it. Okay? And he produced a lot of the garbage-ass movies from the 80s with all the Scream Queens that are fun.
Yeah.
So I give that.
Yeah.
Paul Sorvino. Okay. But man, this thing was painful.
It was, how was this not fun?
This was not fun. This was sci-fi watered down shit.
Dude, what about when that shark jumps out the water and eats Joey Fatone?
That was no, look, right here. I put Joey Fatone just got eaten by a shark, LOL.
That's what I put, right?
That was the one moment in the movie where I was like, all right, I'm having fun with that.
Oh my god, Joey Fatone got eaten by a shark.
Yeah, and he's singing to like the middle-aged women, you know, the like a little bit older crowd. That was fun. But man, otherwise, crap. Crap.
I'm not going to lie. There's plenty of crap in this
movie. Oh, brother.
But my point is, look, I need to stress this early on. When you are going to watch crap like this, it needs to have gratuitous anything.
Yeah.
There's plenty of blood in this.
This was on fucking TV.
My first note is, I was sold on the blood spatter.
Are you talking about from the computer sharks? Yes. It wasn't blood. There were
the red-eyed albino computer.
Okay,
sharks
I'll give
that
you
look
that.
Horrible.
We have CG blood. Okay, but this movie.
Oh, dude, my head hurts. Man.
Jersey Shore shark attack. It's on TV.
Oh man.
And that was a mistake of mine. I saw the DVD on the shelf, and I thought, man.
No, there's no mistake to be had here, in fairness to you. When you're picking these movies, it's not like we have some deep insight into what's credible or more legit.
Right.
Picking shitty movies.
And guys, we want to remind you that we knew this was an April Fool's episode, and we just wanted to do this as a fucking joke. But, oh my god, watching this, my note here is the movie even borrows from Jaws. Nothing is safe. They bring a fucking scientist onto the pier, and he reaches up in the shark's mouth and pulls out a microphone, and Vinny plays there was nothing.
Yeah, Vinny from
Guardadino. Vinny.
Yeah.
Vinny.
From Jersey Shore.
Vinny.
And what's funny is he's not a main character. He plays the reporter, the bad reporter, which is so funny because
I don't know. I've never watched Jersey Shore, so.
He knows he's the bad reporter. Right, he's like, oh my gosh, there are these attacks going on down at the shore. The news coming later. And he just looks like he's getting ready to laugh every time he's doing it.
I love how the professor done brought it up. That was the big finish. It's like, smile, you stupid fish.
Smile, you stupid fish.
That was
icing on the cake. I was like, this movie can kiss my ass. He just borrowed from Jaws. Look, I'm just going to say these two little notes that I got, and then you guys can finish your love fest for this wonderful movie.
Right on, that's so good.
I wrote down 13 minutes in, already checking the time left. That's it. I'm done. We only go to the second one. We're good. You guys just...
Oh, brother, I got some notes on here. Oh, how sweet. He gave her his chain. It's true love. That's all she wanted was his chain, man. Like, that's all it takes nowadays. Kids just want they people chain, man. So, and I think the last thing that really pissed me off is the sharks. All this shit could have been avoided if they would have just turned the drills off. You know what I'm saying? They turned the drills off and the fake-ass sharks get animated to swim the other way.
You just blew my mind.
This was
dumb. Never mind, I like this movie.
Literally, the whole time they could have saved themselves a lot of trouble and heartache if they'd have just turned the drill off. And that's what he does at the end. Homeboy runs around and turns the drill off. Where are we even going? Where are we going, bro? The
sharks were just
to get my girl, bro.
Sharks, my dude.
Sharks, my dude.
The sharks were just trying to protect where they live.
Oh, brother.
Let this be a lesson to all of you.
Any other episode, I would have burped away from the mic.
Preppies, come out and play.
Yeah, we got Preps versus Guidos.
Oh, my goodness. And the Guidos are the champions in this movie, man.
Last piece here. I know, Professor, like this part, they got a real amputee to play a shark victim.
Oh my god, these episodes are torture! Yes.
Yes, he loves that.
No.
Why are you coming down here messing with these good people?
Hey, don't mess that up. I want that.
Oh, do you want it?
Yeah, so.
Okay. Oh, yours then. I was going to throw it in the trash and take a picture. No. I won't say what it is. That'd be a spoiler.
All right. So, final thoughts on Jersey Shore Shark Attack.
Listen, Paulie Walnuts from The Sopranos.
Yes.
Yeah, you got 8 seasons. You can watch him on there. Yeah. Not this.
And he looks just as good in this one.
Oh, he does look good.
I love how he tells the story how that everything happened before in the 60s.
Right.
Like every fucking movie, it's like this happened before. We've done this before.
Old
like,
beach blanket what? Bingo.
Exactly. There were.
They tried to take our beach from us before.
There were sharks, my dude, back then. and again, Paul Sorvino. Guys, this is a star.
Yeah, this is the guy that just canceled out a horror round. Yeah, he's so good.
He wasn't there?
No, he canceled. That's how they got Ralph Macchio.
Man, I'm glad I didn't go.
Hey, just a better Italian, bro. Just upgrade.
Weak. All right, what are we doing next?
Who cares?
Moonshine just came out my nose, man. If y'all never had that happen.
All right, let's do one.
Got that summer sausage on the lap.
Oh! Liked.
To the left, to the left. Summer sausage on the plate to my left.
Future intro.
Zombie Strippers 2008, written and directed by Jay Lee, starring Jenna Jameson, Roxy Saint, Tito Ortiz, yes, the UFC's Tito Ortiz, and Robert Englund. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Freddy Krueger himself lent himself to this 2008 epic Zombie Strippers. Oh, yeah. So somebody want to lead in with this?
Yeah. Professor, tell us all about Zombie Strippers.
Well, for one, the strippers actually strip in this. So that's fun.
Is that foreshadowing?
Yeah. Robert Englund is actually entertaining in this.
He's so hilarious in this, dude.
I'll give this movie credit in this aspect. It's what you expect.
It's your favorite movie of the episode.
You literally have a porn star playing a stripper.
Yeah, well,
and Freddy Krueger playing the comic relief. I mean, there were expectations that came with this
movie. In all
movie,
fairness man. To the rest of the movies we're discussing, it's kind of unfair from what you just described.
There. Yeah, dude. Yeah,
Still not good.
Oh, no, I'm with you on that. It's just...
Like, if you're looking for shitty movies, literally it's Russian roulette with these. Just take your pick
with any of them
that we're discussing on this. But at least this with, like, if you walk up to the cover art and you see Robert Englund, Jenna Jameson, they're both going to give you something at least.
Yeah, dude. Like,
for what you're expecting. Past that, I can vouch for nothing.
Oh, right on.
It's still a shitty movie.
I gotta tell you, I remember liking this. I remember enjoying this the first time I saw it back in like 2009.
Dude, I respect you so much for this because I do too.
This second time around.
Exactly.
This second time around, I was like,
Brother, you remember?
This is awful.
Brother, well, you remember me bringing this home from Blockbuster? I brought this home the day it came out.
It depends on what you mean by awful. Do you mean isolated, or do you mean in comparison to the others? Because to me, this is...
I'd say isolated.
This was one of the ones I had big hopes for.
I'm totally with you on that.
This is one that I remember watching the first time around and going, this is actually a fun movie.
Yeah.
And now, like, watching it
seemed way worse this time. I was like,
oh.
Yeah.
I told people this was fun.
Yeah.
Guys,
I'm right there with you.
Okay.
And as much as we're going to rip on this or laugh or do whatever, because, I mean, the last episode the last one we just laughed through. But you got to give me one thing real quick on this. Aside from Jenna Jameson, we're talking about Jenna Jameson, Robert Englund. A lot of the effects in this one actually look good.
Yes, I agree.
The biting effects, the ripping effects, the skin melting off. Like, a lot of the effects in this look good, man. Like, you got to give me at least that. The dude comes right out the gate. He's like, we just stopped that. What? What was it called? Private Armageddon. Oh, yeah. The private here killed Satan herself with a sharp stick. Good job, Private. I was like, what the fuck is this dude talking
about? So
like,
bad.
He just comes out and he's horrible acting. I did it better than he did it, man. Like, all the Bush jokes date the fucking movie, and you never want to date the
movie. But the fourth term at the beginning was kind of funny.
Yeah, no, I love that. The intro, like the news intro.
Yeah.
Nudity's outlaw.
Yeah.
Right, that was kind of funny.
Debbie is elected for his fourth term.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Our senior year, dude, Jenna Jameson was performing at a strip club in Dayton. I really wish I would have went. I didn't go. You only had to be 18 to get in and Dayton. I really wish I would have went, especially after watching this movie again. I was like, damn it. Robert Englund in the purple suit as a germaphobe strip club owner had me rolling. Especially after I got ridiculed earlier for some summer sausage on my laptop computer. This motherfucker had me rolling. He was hilarious. Nobody had anything to say about this? I got notes for days.
Well, there was a private named Bird Blue.
that was weird. I'm just drinking beer.
We find out that this plague spread through a government screw-up. They were trying to make something else happen. The intro was fun with the news stories that Bush getting elected for a fourth term and his daughter being in charge of partying and nudity being outlawed and all that stuff. So, yeah.
So, can I throw something else out in here? In this movie, we have another... Warriors reference. They make the stripper clangs the bottles together. Yep. Warriors, come out and play. What is it about low-rent fucking B-movies ripping off the Warriors, man?
I don't know, man.
Seriously, because this movie rips that exact... The bottle clanging off precisely, man. I'm going to give you a note right here and take with it what you want. They just killed three more guys. I need something else to happen soon. I'm not going to lie. I've already lost interest in this film. Stripping to me is not a big thing. Boobies aren't a big thing. It's whatever. I remembered liking this movie. So when little to nothing happens except Jenna Jameson gets bitten and turns into a zombie stripper, I kind of lost interest in that real quick because, boobies don't do it for me. You know what I'm saying? You need more than that. You really do. We joke all the time, but being a real film goer, I was stone cold sober watching this movie, like I am most times, and it just that wasn't enough for me. We're drinking now and having a good time, but there was nothing for me as a stone cold sober person watching this, trying to get some value out of it. Robert Englund made me chuckle. The zombie stripper dance off made me chuckle. But other than that, man, there was nothing in this film.
The poor man's Tony Todd.
So, I mean, where are you at on this one, Professor?
Exactly what the title looks like it should be. That's it. The stripper strip. There's zombies. It's a shitty B movie. I like your glasses. Usually Abner.
Thanks, man.
That's about it. I mean... It's just one of those things where, it's not even, to me, worth really spending the time ripping on the weaknesses of any of these movies. Does it live up to the garbage aspect that you expect it to be for each of them?
I mean, there were fun parts in this.
And that has it. It's a shitty movie.
She pulls a...
There's really nowhere else to go.
She pulls a guy's arm off and beats a chick with it. Jenna Jameson shoots balls out of her vagina.
Yeah.
Like, at one point, Robert Englund opens up his gun cabinet. I felt like I was here at Grizz's house.
Hey, is that the pool ball scene?
Yeah.
Okay, because I've got pool ball scene Jesus written down, but I don't really remember what it is.
She shot pool balls out of her vagina.
Okay, that's what it was.
Killing a zombie.
That was ridiculous.
Another note I have is everything got real goofy real fast, man. Overall, it was a fun movie, but it wasn't by any stretch of the imagination, am I ever going to go, oh, zombie, you want a good zombie movie? Zombie Strippers.
Right.
Like, it's just not there, dude. Like, I need more than, I really do. And like I said, there was an awesome zombie strip
now,
but other than that, dude, I'm not into it.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. You're working in a video store.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I walk in, I say, hey, I need a good zombie movie.
Yeah.
With Robert Englund and Jenna Jameson.
Well, I give you this. You walk in, you go, hey, I need a good movie. I'm listening. Robert Englund.
I'm going to say
Phantom of the Opera.
Nightmare Part 6.
Yeah, I need a good Robert Englund movie. I give you a nightmare movie. I need a good movie with Jenna Jameson.
Hey, buddy, give me an answer. I need to rent a movie.
Well, I give you She Eats Box Part 3. I mean, like, I give you a better Jenna Jameson movie than this.
Is that a real movie?
Yes.
I feel like as a consumer, you just lied to me.
No, She Eats Box Part 3.
No, listen. Nightmare 6.
Jenna's not in that.
Freddy's dead was bullshit. She is.
No, she's not.
Go back to that episode.
Don't fall asleep to dream.
Shout out to Ryan Sexton.
Anything else to say about zombie strippers? No, for real,
man. You haven't even said anything. Go ahead with this, man. I got to give you some notes.
I like that they made fun of George W. Bush. Yeah. I like that the private was named Bird Flu, making fun of that. Government screw up.
Yeah, poor man's mission accomplished.
The ping pong ball and pool ball out of the coochie. So, like, we hit all the high spots.
Yeah, man. I mean,
the roast, like, man, like I said, it was a lot less stupid the first time I watched it. And then the second time I watched it, I was like, man, I can't even, like, tell people to watch this for fun because I'm not having fun watching this anymore.
Well, that does it for that.
Well, who's having fun?
No, guys, not I'm me. Sorry. Guys, I'm sorry. I know it was real quiet for the last few minutes. We're going to bring this home real quick with the last movie. It was Professor Wagstaff's favorite movie of the evening. It's called Strippers versus Werewolves. You mean
favorite movie of the year?
Piece of shit.
2012's Jonathan Glendinning directed. Glendinning. Philip Barone.
Oh, yeah, what was his name?
What was it?
His fucking name is John, dude.
Spell it for us.
Glendinning.
Glendinning.
Glendinning. Glendinning. Ring-a-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding.
All right. Starring Adele Silva, Martin.
It was starring anybody. Hold on. Did you just shit while you were laughing?
Ali Bastion, Barbara DeGeneres, and surprise, Robert Englund.
This movie
can eat my fucking ass.
I don't understand your hostility towards this.
This is the worst movie we've covered for this podcast. This is the
best movie this evening.
No, sure isn't.
Oh, man. Sure isn't.
Not even close.
I think they looked a lot less like werewolves and more like billy goats to me.
Yeah.
Big ass ears.
Exactly. There wasn't no strippers or werewolves in this fucking movie.
They look like the guys from I Was a Teenage Werebear.
I don't know I don't know the exact time on this movie. Do you have that jotted
2012.
Down? The time, though?
Oh, an hour and 37.
That's an hour and 37 minutes of a montage. That's a whole goddamn movie.
Yeah, dude.
It is literally like three different things going on, split screen, constant, with no storyline. Just... It's fucking nonsense. The werewolves have bent ears and no fucking hair on their face.
Billy goats,
and there are, like, I think, two women in the entire movie as strippers that have pasties on. And this movie's like, bullshit.
This is my favorite movie of the episode.
The plot wasn't even interesting.
Oh, dude, here's one of my favorite notes. We shoved our hairy werewolf ding-dongs up their fucking asses. I wish I would have shat in his mouth. That's the brilliant writing that went on in this movie. Now, there is a group of werewolves that look like soccer hooligans running around the town. It's like, what the fuck is this group of werewolves about? They look like billy goats. They're more like soccer hooligans. They curse all the time, and they end up jerking off watching chicks through a mirror.
Yeah.
What the hell is this movie about?
Now, to be fair, that was the return.
He got deflated. Did you see that? He's like, to be fair.
They didn't all do that. The retarded werewolf guy.
More than one retarded guy did.
The retarded werewolf guy was jacking off watching. Why am I defending this?
Yeah. Put that in your diary tonight when you go to bed.
The retarded werewolf.
This is the worst movie we have covered on this podcast.
This is not worse than Critters 4.
Yes, it is. Yes, this is the worst movie we have ever covered.
This is not worse than Ghoulies 4.
Yes.
No. No, Ghoulies 4?
When they go, which one is that?
People were dressed as ghoulies and that chick was in that leather. Yeah, you didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it. There were ghoulies in it, though.
Yeah, midgets playing ghoulies.
But there were ghoulies in it. There were no strippers or werewolves in this.
Yes, there was.
There were fucking furry-eared fairies and woman with pasties on. This movie was bullshit.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. This was so painful to watch. And I watched it twice because I was in a fever dream the first time I watched this, getting sick. And just to make sure, 2 weeks later, I watched it because I was like, I want to be fair. And make sure, because that's not the best setting to watch this film. There is a reason, of the four films on this podcast so far, that you can get all of the other ones commercially and not this one.
I'm going to sum this movie up in one little piece of dialogue. The kid goes, are you a prostitute? The woman goes, no. And he goes, it's okay, my mom's a prostitute. Sums the whole fucking movie up.
We should note that this is a British film. Spoiler.
If you can talk about the bad accent, I'm doing.
Even hurts it more, because they're much more intelligent, usually. I will give them the credit on this.
Wait, this movie is genius. I don't know why you're saying
that. No, hold on. He keeps giving the rebuttal of why it's good. Let's give you the floor.
Go ahead, Grizz. The floor
Please
is yours,
explain to
man.
Us why this is good.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, this is the best film we've watched for the whole series.
Why?
Series of what? This episode?
Yes.
Okay, well.
Why? Go ahead.
Polished turd.
So first off, we had the guy, the gangster from Snatch, working at the strip club.
Okay.
The guy who would feed his enemies to pigs, remember?
Right, yeah. Remember? Yeah.
Paulie on Sopranos. Paul Sorvino, Goodfellas. So we've got the relation here.
The guy from Snatch, he's like, let me tell you why you keep a pig fat, so you can feed your enemies to pigs. So he works at the strip club. We find out that there's a history. There's some history about werewolves hating strippers. I don't know why. I didn't write this history. So there's some history there. There's a werewolf gang. And I admit they don't look entirely like werewolves.
They're bullshit werewolves and you know it.
They
can only afford to do one guy up as a
I feel like I'm having to earn the right to peel the layer back on the layer of horseshit right here that you guys know.
Guys, these werewolves are better than the werewolves in Howl.
No, sure aren't.
No, not at all.
Not they even close. Not You're going to regret saying this out loud on recorded proof. You
guys,
know.
Guys, werewolves in Howl look like Predator.
Not even, no.
Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Oh, dude, they still look better than this shit. These guys look like Billy Goats.
Yeah.
All right.
These look like these guys. This movie should have been called Hobbits versus Softcore Dancers. This movie was bullshit.
Hobbits
and you know
versus
it.
Skinamax.
Oh, God.
All right. All right. Listen. The guy.
I am enjoying this banter, though.
Guys, all right. Listen. The guys definitely look like I was a teenage werebear. That's what they look like.
Tim Sullivan, we love you.
I love you, Tim Sullivan.
We like Teenage Werebear. I'm just going to put that out there.
That's a reach.
But the story was good.
What, they killed a werewolf in 30 days? Yeah. That's it. Fuck this movie. I'm sorry.
So a guy goes into a strip club.
Not enough.
He turns into a werewolf. He gets stabbed in the eye by a silver pin. Yep. The werewolf, his werewolf brothers get pissed off. They track down him and find out that he was killed. Then they track down his killer to a strip club. His strip club is owned by a woman who 30 years prior, knew that there were werewolves and blew the club up trying to get rid of them.
Right.
Now, at this point, if you don't already give a fuck, Robert Englund pops up. In a fucking jail cell. We don't know why he's there. He's bitching about not being the alpha. I love Robert Englund. I'm glad that he does shit like this. He gives people an opportunity to work with him. But Robert Englund comes out with a line. Cry havoc and slip the wolves of vengeance. What the fuck? Robert Englund comes in and he's ripping off Shakespeare, man. I wonder if he added that. We know Robert Englund's a Renaissance man. But if, for those who don't know, cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war is a line from Julius Caesar, said by Anthony. And he comes in spouting off about some bullshit, and then we don't see him again until in the credits. Yes, folks, watch the credits. Because Robert Englund pops back up. He's in this movie for about 4 minutes total. And that was the redeeming factor for me, man. Like, we see strippers square off against werewolves. They have stripper heels. One of them has brass knuckles that are silver knuckles that say Franklin on them, Franklin, on the other hand.
Her boyfriend that got killed.
Yep. Oh, dude, it's just a dumb fucking movie.
Thanks, shit.
Dude, I'm not gonna lie. When the scorecard came up the first time, I lost my shit. The strippers kill a werewolf, and out of nowhere on your screen pops up and says strippers 1, werewolf 0. And I lost my shit. I was like, that's where we're at, dude. That's what we're in for right now, man. Go ahead, Chris.
But you admit it was better than Zombie Stripper.
No.
You did on text. I've got the text. Look up that. Because you made Professor mad.
No, mad. Just shocked.
Yeah, I'm dude,
constantly.
I like this movie. I'm not gonna lie, dude. I like this better than Zombie Strippers. I like this better than Jersey Shore Massacre. Didn't like it better than Jersey Shore Shark Attack. Loved it way more than Zombies vs. Strippers. Let's put that out there.
You guys are insane.
Oh my goodness.
But you love it.
It's the worst movie we've covered on this podcast right here.
It's not worse. It's not this one.
Not just the worst for this episode, the worst for this show.
Guys, Ghoulies 4 is one of the worst movies ever made. And we talked about
it. It wasn't good.
No. Hey, you seem to have rose-colored lenses.
No, not at all. I'm talking in the now. I watched this movie that you guys are defending. Not rose-colored lenses right now. This movie is a piece of shit. It's not hard to compare to the past. It doesn't matter. This is the worst thing I have covered on the show because the movie is called Stripper versus Werewolves, and it has neither. It has neither. It is an hour and a half of split editing. We've got two moving shots on the screen at all time for dummies. This is a dumbass movie. It's not even kind of entertaining. And I watched it twice to try and make sure I was watching it. And I knew I'd be the bad guy on this, but this thing is a piece of shit. And I can't with a good conscience tell anybody to watch this thing for any reason. Like we have watched 4. We're going to cover one more with Chad who covered Mad Chan by himself.
Who's Chad?
I don't know. I can't speak. Yo, for that. I wasn't but supposed to four, watch that this by is myself. The only one where I would tell no one to watch it. That's myself. Just me. I'm alone on it, and I am not afraid to stand by that opinion.
Mad Chan.
It's semantics. These movies are all shit. Semantics.
I can't in good conscience tell anyone right. to watch any of these movies.
April Fool's fuckers, I love this
April
movie.
April Fool's Day! Shut up!
Do we have any final thoughts on Stripper versus Werewolves?
I hate everything about
this. Or just this Dancers movie. Versus Hobbits, or whatever you guys call it.
No, man, I'm done. I'm done.
I'm sorry, I'm being a dick. I'm just,
boats,
I like
laughing. Boats and hoes.
Mad Chan, give us the bonus feature here.
Monologue. No. Bonus feature. No, we're not pushing stop
until
you're
done.
Here we go.
All right,
monologue, bonus feature.
All right, so here's what happened,
I'm going to move my mic back right now. I'm just going to sit back and listen.
My mic sounds nice.
Here's what happened, hot y'all. Toddy. I'm going to lean in on this real quick. So I'm up here with Grizz.
My mic sounds
nice. And we're watching,
nice.
Me and Grizz is watching Jersey Shore Massacre. And Grizz looks at me and goes, hey, man. Because of we made Mr. Wilson watch all these dumbass movies, me and you are going to watch an extra one. I said, what's that? And he goes, Zombies versus Strippers. And I'm like, cool, Zombies versus Strippers. I can get down on this. So, ladies and gentlemen, I show up tonight and I was like, Mr. Wilson, Professor, because me and Mr. Abner... The Grizzly Abner over here, since we did a little something extra for you. We watched a movie called Zombies versus Strippers, and Grizzly Abner goes, nope. He's like, I didn't watch that shit. And so, ladies and gentlemen, by myself, last night at 2 in the morning, I watched Zombies versus Strippers, 2012, director Alex Nicolau, who is the son of Ted Nicolau. Yeah, what? Subspecies Ted Nicolau.
Come back.
Bringing it back.
We got a guy named Spider, played by a guy named Circus Zalzwicki. Sugar Hill, played by Eve Monroe, and Bambi, played by Victoria Levine. The movie starts out as a pile of shit, and it hasn't gotten any better. That's my first note.
There you go.
The guy's not bleeding or biting, is he? And the girl goes, doesn't that cost extra? This was a shitty movie. Let me give you a rundown of what's going on. So, in the end times, zombies are getting ready to pop up. There's a shitty strip club called The Titty.
The Shitty Titty?
The Titty something. I'll tell you here in a minute. But anyway, the guy pops up, and what they're trying to do is save the titty. And these strippers come into work, and it's the zombie apocalypse, and nobody knows it yet. So, the guy decides that he's going to close down the titty. And the strippers are pissed about that. So what happens is some guy comes running in from the zombie apocalypse with a pocket full of cash because he just looted some places and he got 16 grand. So they decide that we're going to try to keep the titty open. And dumb shit ensues. Try to get there. There's an Eli Roth looking punk guy that made me chuckle a little bit because he has a band that's called Nancy Reagan's Vagina. Yeah, there you go. That's the kind of level we stoop to in this fucking movie. Nancy Reagan's Vagina. At one point, the guy goes, don't tell me how to run my titty bar, you little asshole. That's the kind of writing you can expect from Zombies vs. Strippers. This movie, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to sum this movie up for you real quick. If you're looking to watch Zombies versus Strippers, this is like a shittily written Empire Records. Instead of trying to save a record store, they're trying to save the tough titty strip bar. When the bartender puts the eye to his forehead and says, far out, man, it's jokes like that that you're expected to carry this movie. There's a guy in this movie named Ram Boner. I'm just giving it to you. There's a group of bikers that show up in this movie. They're evangelical bikers. And one of the fucking bikers has a voice box. Sent me over the top. This movie is so fucking stupid. I suggest you go out and rent it or buy it today. $14.99 Amazon. I want you to have this in your life because I watch the shit. You should have to watch the shit. At one point, some dude gets bit and he's in the back room and his stripper girlfriend is giving him a lap dance to make him feel better before he turns into a zombie. And when he turns into a zombie, he bites her whole fucking face off. This is the kind of high level intensity you can expect from Zombies versus Strippers. The movie was horrible. I don't suggest anybody watch this movie. At one point, a girl was using a G-string as a slingshot. And the biggest catchphrase in this movie is, if you ain't tucking a buck, you shit out of luck as a black stripper kills a zombie. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to watch this piece of shit, it's on Amazon. Feel free to buy it or rent it. I don't suggest it, but you guys don't always do what we say, so.
That's true.
That's it. Any questions, guys? Oh, at one point, there's a Michael Jackson zombie that had me rolling. Like, the zombies come in, and she's like, oh, hell no. And he's like, hey. And she kicks him in the nuts, and he goes, oh. And she goes, you ain't going all Thriller on me, bitch. And she smacks him with a titty and kills him because their titties are lethal. I like this movie. There's actually titties in this movie, guys. Unlike some of the other movies we watched tonight. There are
like strippers.
There's strippers in this. There's a woman in this movie that I legit tell you, she's probably really a stripper. She wasn't an actress. Like, they hired her.
That's her thing.
Because she's a stripper.
Yeah.
Like, the other ones you could tell were, like, wannabe actresses. But one of these women, the blonde woman in this movie, literally you look like she's a Los Angeles stripper. Who's tried to be an actor, because she looked natural as fuck dancing, looked awkward as shit trying to act. So that's how it goes. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give it 5 out of 5 stars. Watch Zombies vs. Strippers by director Alex Nicolau, son of Ted Nicolau, cousin of Damian Nicolau, and stepbrother to Timmy Nicolau. I don't know any of that's true. I just made up some names. But he's the son of Ted Nicolau. So Ted Nicolau, as you all know, is the director of Terror Vision and all the subspecies movies. And he's the editor of Ghoulies and Tourist Trap. Yeah, I said that. All right, brothers. That's everything for Matt Chan's one-man review of shitty movies.
Hey,
come back next week when I talk about Brain Scan. It's the ultimate in Terror Vision. Ladies and gentlemen. Wolfman Mad Chan is out.
Yeah, did a Wolfman Jack the Black Dog Stacks.
Dude, this
man. Who gave this man his own jail?
Hey,
y'all ain't said nothing in 5 minutes, man.
Because we didn't watch that, and I appreciate you taking care of that.
I thought we were going to watch it.
Honestly, these four were like pulling my fingernails out. Just painful. But I look back on it, you know, with a little bit of nostalgia.
No, we drinking these Rampart beers, y'all. I want to watch these
movies.
Yeah. But if you tune in next week, you'll hear about
that. Don't even.
Guys, April Fool's Day, man. We love y'all. Even. Listen, we just
Tourist Trap joke, guys. Craps on these fucking movies. Don't even try.
Guys, April Fool's Day, we hated these movies, but we watched them just as a joke. And if y'all didn't get the fact that this was a joke episode, just tune in next week, y'all. I mean, come on.
Yeah, get a spoon and eat my ass.
No, don't say that.
I'm sorry. April Fools.
You can't just say something and then say April Fools and make it all right.
No,
you
just can't sit with us. I just did. Scoop it out.
I just did. I just doggone did.
I just did.
Well, so that does it for another edition of the Midwest Monster Podcast.
No, you don't do this. I do.
I don't even know what just happened right now.
This is an episode of the Midwest Monsters Podcast. Closing out. April Fool's Day. I am one of your hosts. I am Grizzly Edner, joined by.
Allow me to introduce myself. That's I can't play late. It this time, it's man. Oh, Mad Chan.
Professor Wagstaff. Yeah.
Good Lord have mercy, people. Please.
It's your cousin,
thanks right for there. Sticking with us, guys.
Hey, scary. Yeah, it's
my cousin. Nice balls, Mark Hamill.
No, she's on my Facebook. Like
all right. Hey, stay scary.
Stay friends, scary.
Just stay scary.
Hey, April Fools, guys.